just had a prayer meeting. Amen. 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 Thankful for prayer. Prayer is powerful. Things move in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. And the late, great artist, Satan Bite the Dust. Amen. Some of y'all younger people are like, what? Satan Bite the Dust. If you were late this morning, you missed something. Josh Maines put together a really cool collaboration of Carmen and a lot of his powerful clips. And so that was pretty awesome. It was in our countdown this morning. So if you were online or you want to go back and listen to it, it was incredible. A man that served God in and out all the way to the very end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he's at the greatest concert in the world has ever seen, man. They're just all in. All in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to First Open Bible. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for joining us over in the fellowship hall, and it's good to see you here in the sanctuary. Worship team, appreciate you. Tech team, all you do every single week, we don't even know what you do. Literally, we have no idea what you do. Only you do. That's why you're up there. Hallelujah. Thank you for geeking out for us. We love you. We appreciate you. Greeters, ushers, kids workers. Amen. You know what I heard about kids workers? That we had new people interested in kids ministry. You know what that does for me? That makes me so excited. Amen. People wanting to get involved. If you're not involved, what are you doing? Literally nothing. Okay. Security team, appreciate you as well. And you guys ready for the word? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thankful. It's good to see all your faces today. Look to your neighbor and say, you're good looking. Some of y'all laughing. That's just mean. You're good looking. That's mean. It's messed up. You need to try again. Hold it in. Pray for forgiveness. The altars are open if you laughed when you said that. The altars are open. The altars are open at home as well. Y'all laughed at the wrong person. Enjoy the couch tonight. Hallelujah. 3 weeks ago, I cast some vision for 2021 for First Open Bible. I want to just do a recap of some of that vision as it flows into today's sermon. We recognize that 2020 was a difficult year. Amen? Okay. It's all right to admit it. Truth will set you free. But we also recognize this, that it was a year that brought wonderful opportunities for us to grow closer to Jesus and to grow closer to each other as well. The whole world stopped and said, hey, what are your real priorities? I hope that you don't go back to the same things. If you're as busy as you were right now, as you were in 2020 with the same things you did in 2020 or 2019, you have missed it completely. Repent. Ask God to change your life. He gave us an awesome opportunity to reevaluate what is most important. The vision sermon, I ask questions like this. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Those are two different things, by the way. What does it mean to be his church? Why do I say that? Satan and one-third of the angels, the demons, they believe in Jesus, but they don't follow him. Unfortunately, in the last days, the same thing is going to be true about the church. The New Testament avoids laying out a model for precisely how the church ought to be structured. The biblical authors leave us with a lot of freedom when it comes to the structure of the church. But structures matter. And we should be intentional about the way that we structure our churches, because structures dictate the direction a church will go. I want to say this. We're never going to go back to the way things we've always done before. Why? Because you're only going to get the same results. And you're going to miss what God is doing and has done. We are going to follow God and what he is doing now. Right? That's what we have to do. Y'all want to just go back to the same old way, the same old things? Man, you're going to have the same old results, which weren't very good. God is moving. Move with him. You know, theology matters. But the theology that matters the most is not the one that we profess, but the theology we actually practice. Every church has the same Bible, but not every church lives it. Now, I just saw something. Oh, man, was it in Tennessee or something? Can't remember. A pastor, saw on Facebook, some of y'all put it out there, a pastor just said that this word is not the inherent word of God. It is not perfect, and blah, 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 whatever, he said. And he's preaching from a pulpit saying, this isn't 100% truth. Deception is here, church. We always look to the evil and, oh, look at all the evil stuff that's going on. Man, it is in the pulpit. Come on now. You have to read your word. If you have not read your word in the last week, today is your day. Here is your wake-up call. Get in your word. If you don't get in your word, you're going to fall away. And if you fall away, you won't follow Jesus. And if you're not following Jesus, there's a different kind of destiny for you. That's what the word teaches. It's not just believing. The belief is the beginning. Following is next. You must change your life for Jesus and follow him. That's a disciple, not a convert. Too many Christians are packing into churches every week or watching online who seem to have no interest in actually doing what the Bible says to do. Week after week, people hear from the Bible things like 1 John chapter 3, 18 and 19. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show by the truth, by our actions. Now, you just did that. Y'all turned to each other and prayed for each other. That is love. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we'll be confident when we stand before God. Another one, James 1, 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Now, I was a youth pastor for a really long time, 3 different times. One thing I love about teenagers is they know when you're fake and they know when you're real. You don't think the world does too? Come on now. I'm preaching better than your amen in today. Y'all brought steel shoes, right? I wore them all week writing this thing. Like you cut off a toe. But many believers never seem to do anything. How can this be? What is the point of teaching or reading scripture without expecting change? There is not one person in the entire Bible that did not meet Jesus and get changed. Now, if they didn't get changed, that's because they decided not to follow him. But every single person that ever met Jesus and chose to follow him were changed. Their entire life changed, change, change all the time. Don't be a crusty Christian. Come on now. I just made that. That was from the Holy Ghost, or that was probably just from my mind. I don't know. Y'all, I've been saying, pray for the discerning of spirits. There's one right there. Practice it. Okay, was that Pastor Harris or God? But for real, don't be a crusty Christian. You're stuck in your ways, man. You got to change. You got to change for the gospel. You got to change with God's love and his compassion and his passion. You got to do things that you've never done before. You got to go places you've never been before. You got to say things you never said before. You got to pray in a new way. Amen. And this is just the intro of 3 weeks ago. See, I'm not perfect, okay? Y'all can say amen. My wife said it loudest. Hallelujah. Amen. I know. It's true. It don't hurt. It's true. I don't expect anybody to be perfect. But shouldn't we be a family of believers pushing one another toward faithful action? Shouldn't we be pushing one another and encouraging one another to have a heart change? God designed the church to be much more than what a majority of us experience in America. You ever been on a missions trip? You know they got it. And we don't. That's why y'all got to bring it back. Remind us. Remind yourselves. God designed our relationship with him to go much deeper. And our actions to have a much greater degree of faith than they do right now. Don't be satisfied, church, with what you're doing now or how far you are with God now. Never be satisfied. Always desire more. Always ask to go further. always, always, right? You don't have to be some super Christian. See, a lot of times I think Christians, what they do is just what the world does, and we're like, oh, I can't believe they compare that. They, you know, the world compares the way you look. The world compares the way you look, especially ladies. I pray for you, I feel for you, because all the time this is what a model should look like, this is what you should go after, but that's not what God designed you for. He says you're perfect, he loves you. Yeah, take care of yourself. Yeah, it's a temple, y'all need to take care. See, Pastor Harris, you need to do some more crunches. I get it, okay, I understand. But here's what happens in the church. We might not compare one another as much as the world does and how we look, but we compare each other and how far we are in our relationship with Christ. But that's not what we're supposed to compare for. I can't love Jesus for you. You can't love Jesus for me. You can't follow God for me, and I can't follow him for you. You compare your relationship with God with your relationship with God. If it is not as good today as it was 2 weeks ago, y'all need to get on your knees and pray and say, God, I need to go further. There are dry seasons, and there are seasons that are plentiful. But you should always go deeper with God. Do not compare yourselves to one another. Oftentimes we say things in church, do this and do that, or follow God, or follow this or that. And oftentimes you say, oh, I just can't do that. You've already been defeated. God isn't calling you to be like me, right? I'm the pastor of First Open Bible at this time. That's what God has desired. Did I come and hang out with the white demon on my own choice? I did not. I did not, but I'm gonna follow God, and this is what he's calling me to do. So what is God calling you to do? Don't compare yourselves even to your own spouse or your friends or your neighbors or whoever else. Get deeper with God. See, we need a rebuilding, church. We need a heart change. We need to be stripped completely to prepare the way for the Lord. First Open Bible 2021 is the year we don't go to church. It's the year we are the church. Okay? Y'all can celebrate that. 2021, the year we are the church. We're not just going to attend. Hallelujah. Our primary focus 3 weeks ago has shifted from attendance to participation. Just because you attend a game does not make you an athlete. Get in the game. No more spectating. It's time to participate. Why? Because this is what Christ commissioned us to do. So, Pastor, what exactly has Christ commissioned us to do? Through many generations, Christian churches have shifted in many ways, good and not so good. One way that we have shifted greatly is on our primary focus. What once started as a primary focus on reaching the ones around them with an outward mindset, and meeting together was about helping others in our neighborhood or helping each other together or even helping on missions, has unfortunately focused and has switched to inward programs, inward ministries, and inward activities. Cultural Christianity sings praises of discipline while at the same time avoids making disciples. The American church as a whole has missed the original intent of its commissioned focus. We have moved away from the heart of it all. Every Christian church, you got your notes out? Note takers are what? History makers. Or you can just go back and watch online, or maybe you're watching online right now. Here is this really simple today. Sometimes we make the word so complicated when really it's pretty simple. Every Christian church, every Christian should have two primary focuses. Number one, to obey and practice the great commandments. There's an S. To obey and participate in the great commandments, number one. Number two is this, to fulfill the great commission. Everything a church does should be birthed out of, connected directly to, and flow from these two primary commissions. The purpose of a church is not to fill a spot on the calendar. Now, we've done that for a long time. I've been guilty of that, right? Here's the funny thing. Gotta look busy till Christ comes. Hallelujah. Making these activities, gotta be busy. The purpose and the heartbeat of a church is to love God, love ourselves, and love other people. First primary commission is the Great Commandments. The greatest two commandments Jesus tells us about in Matthew 22 sums up pretty much the entire Bible. Okay? These next verses will pretty much sum up the entire Bible. No, that does not give you permission not to read anymore today. Right? Hey, Pastor, read it. That is the super cliff notes of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 22, if you have your word today, we're going to start in verse 36. I'm going to read out of the NLT. It's this. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Verse 39, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Amen? The most important thing we can do on earth comes from the most important commandment given. You must love your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and most important task as a child of God. If you wonder, man, what should I do right now? I don't even know. Maybe I'm stuck. Maybe I'm stuck in walking with God. Maybe I'm stuck in following God. Maybe I'm stuck because I've fallen away for a while and I'm coming back. Or maybe you don't know where to begin. Or maybe you're a new Christian. Here it is. The most important, the beginning of it all. If you don't have this, who cares what else you do? The foundation is on sand. The most important task of a child of God is to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. We are to completely sell out to God, as well as completely surrender to him as well. We cannot serve God and his interests and at the same time serve our own interests as well. It's impossible. Your spouse, your job, your kids, your feelings, your dreams, they must all take a back seat to God's purpose and his plans. All of it. See, out of our heart, everything flows. That's what the word tells us. Out of our heart, everything flows. Our soul, what is our soul? In essence, it's who you are. It's what makes you you. And out of your minds is what you think, what you focus on, and what you will act upon. That's why Jesus says here we have to give God all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our minds. There can only be one first in your life, and it cannot be you. If it is you, you're an idolater. You're what the Bible says will not go to heaven. You worship yourself, not God. And if you worship yourself and not God, you're not worshiping God. And if you're not worshiping God, you're not following God. And if you're not following God, you're not following Jesus. And the only people that go to heaven are people that follow Jesus. See how this flowed? I mean, I felt like I was rapping. Okay. I'm not doing it again. I was feeling it. But for real, that's truth. We oftentimes think that we can just have a little bit of Jesus here and there, and we can sprinkle him here and there, and I'm only going to call upon him when I'm in trouble. Man, have we been taught or followed the wrong gospel? If we're going to obey and practice the great commandments, you can't play church. You got to be sold out to God. Okay, here's the second commandment, and Jesus says it's equally as important. Wow. He does put it above the other one, but he says, man, this is just as equally as important as what I just said. How is that possible, right? He says this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, we've heard a lot of sermons probably. If you've been in church for a while, you've heard a lot of people preach a lot of sermons, and maybe you've heard a lot, and maybe you've heard sermons on how to love God better, okay? Self-sacrifice, holy worship, idols, things like this. Maybe you've even heard good sermons on loving your neighbor or how to love your enemies, right? I've heard some good ones about that. But we rarely hear a sermon topic about the idea of loving ourself. Yet, it's part of the greatest commandments in the Bible. Leviticus 19:18, this is Old Testament. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Go down a few more verses. Leviticus 19, same chapter, verse 34. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in a land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Okay, let's go New Testament. James 2:8 says this. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in scriptures. Love your neighbor, come on now, as what? Yourself. So it's so important to love God and to love other people. It is so important. But it's as equally important to love yourself as well. I'll let that soak in. We are commanded by God to do that. The Lord uses the standard of how we love ourselves is how we're actually going to love other people. All right. Welcome to the United States of America. We have a lot of division and opinions. Opinion book, Facebook. Offense. We have anger and depression. Confusion. Do you find yourself being hard on other people? Do you find yourself sometimes being judgmental about others? And that is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen anybody put on Facebook in my entire life. I cannot believe that person said that comment. Oh, these people. I can't believe they watched this or believe this or voted this way or blah, 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 blah. Do you find yourself sometimes being disgusted with other people? Well, the only way to love through that is you're going to have to stop being so hard, so judgmental, and so disgusted with yourself first. Now I'm preaching. What starts in your heart will flow out of you. Luke 6:45. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you text, what you put on social media, what you are doing flows from your heart. Maybe loving your neighbor as yourself isn't working for you because you don't love yourself. If you haven't received, accepted, or walked, or are walking in God's love, you don't know how to love anybody. You don't even know how to love yourself. Let me tell you what loving yourself is not. It's not about more pride. It's not about being self-absorbed. It's all about me. You should do things my way. Remember that song? Now we sing one thing with our mouth, but that's exactly what we sing with the heart. Come on now. It's not about being self-absorbed or more pride or becoming motivated by self-esteem. Loving yourself is about asking the only one that really matters what he thinks of you. You need to ask Jesus. He's going to tell you what he thinks about you. And out of that love that will fill your heart, you'll be able to love other people. Then you're going to be motivated by God esteem. He's going to build you up and strengthen you. The more that you love God, the more you realize how much we need him. Can I get real for a moment? Paul, right? The guy wrote most of the New Testament, which is pretty awesome. He spelled things probably correctly. As I'm reminded frequently, I'm a terrible speller. I wrote a card this week twice because I cannot spell. I'm at all kinds of letters. I don't know. But the guy that wrote most of the New Testament, the more he loved God and the more he was filled with the Holy Spirit and the more that he walked through these life events in his life, the more he realized he was less and less and less. He considered himself way less than anyone else he's even ever ministered to. Like somebody who's like the greatest sinner that you could say, he's like, I'm less than them. I'm less than them. And he realized how low he was because he realized how great God is. And with his lowness and him realizing how much of a sinner he is, or Jeremiah says, how wicked our hearts are, who can really know them? God says that I know them. And the more that we love God, the more that we know we need him, and the less we think of ourselves and the more we think of others. And we put people in positions that we can love them and we take ourselves out. Paul gets it. I mean, the guy is in a prison. Now, we think prison now is like, I'm gonna push weights in the yard and I got cable TV, right? And I'm gonna trade and I'm gonna get two rolls today. I don't, you know, whatever going on in prison. Rolls, you know, bread. That's good that you don't know. You've never been to prison. Hallelujah. Yeah, prison rolls have weight like in school snack packs have, right? I mean, they're like the top of trade. Okay, I'm just moving on. I don't know. No, but seriously, like in prison, but this guy was in a dungeon. There are probably no windows. It probably smells like poop and pee because he has a corner where he's got to go. They don't let him out. They don't do anything. They probably whip him, and you don't know when you're getting out. It's probably dark and dungy. And what is he doing? He's writing letters of love to churches all over the world. He's preaching the gospel in his pain and in his darkness. And he's loving people through it. Why? Because it's not him, it's God in him. And he realized that he loves people more because he loves God more. And he loves himself enough that he says, man, I got to sacrifice this. I got an opportunity today, right? But oftentimes we just sit around and get comfortable. And we hear words like this and we get like emotionally stirred, but we don't get our souls stirred. Man, if you're yelling and screaming today and you're hallelujah and praise God, I pray that it manifests itself as you go out today, right? And I like amen and I like celebrating. I like it when God touches my feelings, but if he doesn't touch my heart, what's the point? The word says it's like clanging cymbals. Without love, it's just a bunch of noise. It's like a clanging cymbal, right? Anybody had a kid before practice an instrument at home? I played the trumpet for 5 years. I cannot imagine the beginning. I mean, I cannot. My parents are probably like in their prayer closet every night going, I'm not going to hit them. I'm not going to spank them. I'm going to love them through it. But he's not getting seconds tonight. That kid got to get better. This is awful. I don't know what they're doing. But that's what it's like. If you don't have love, it's just irritating. It's awful. It's hard to hear. It doesn't even matter. You walk away being annoyed instead of being encouraged or built up or edified. You don't hear the gospel. You hear a bunch of opinions. We already got enough of those. All right, what am I saying here? What flows out, what starts in your heart will flow out of you. Loving God and loving ourselves, what does that do? It produces a love for other people. Loving God and loving ourselves produces a love for other people. And someone who is full of God's love and loving other people, they will change the world. So how can we love other people the best? That brings us to the second primary commission of the church, the Great Commission. Now there's a couple versions of that. There's a shorter Great Commission. I like the one out of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all, say that word, church, authority, say that. Sit right there for a second. Jesus says, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Now, this is with all the authority in heaven and on earth. All the authority is speaking right now. And be sure of this. I love this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You don't do anything alone, especially the Great Commission. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Many Christians believe in this great myth that doing life together is the only path for making disciples. But Jesus said, go. It's great that you can bring people today. I don't see a lot of guests today, which is unfortunate. You should bring people to church if they're willing, or invite them online. Thank you for joining us. Keep sharing this. Share it. You know, put comments. The more you comment, the more likes you have, the more it goes out into the world. And it gets bigger and bigger. It's great that you bring, but Jesus said, that's not the only way. You got to go. You got to go. And what kind of authority does he say that? With all the authority. Go. Come on. Go. Time for his church to get back to the heart of the gospel and start winning the lost. Church, look at me real quick. It's time to start getting back to the heart of the gospel and start winning lost souls. 2020 is over. You don't got to hunker down anymore if you don't want to. Put a mask on and just start going into every store you can go into. Put on what you got to put on. Do what you have to do. If they got rules where you got to go, obey the rules and then blow it up for Jesus, okay? See, evangelism is a matter of the heart. It's not the what, but the why that sends us. We must be intentional to go and to preach the good news of Jesus to a hurting, lost, confused, and dying world. That's what Jesus died for. Here's what you can do. You can pray. You can plan. Now, we do a lot of that good, but we don't do this. Pursue. Pray, plan, pursue. Robert Munger said this quote, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread, end quote. Curry R. Blake says this quote, if your gospel isn't touching others, it hasn't touched you, end quote. I love that one. Woo. Gospel is the good news, and it's carried by people who are full of God's love. Jesus even said, he is with us wherever we go to the very end of the age. What does that mean? To the very end of time. He's going to be with us. Jesus is all about soul winning, and he did whatever it took to get that done. Yes, beyond his own preferences. He would heal people. He'd go to people's homes. He'd travel hundreds of miles. He would feed them. He would raise the dead. He would preach. He would teach. And he was motivated by love. And we're commissioned and commanded to do the very same thing. John 15:16 says this, you didn't choose me, Jesus talking, I chose you. Come on now. You didn't choose me, right? Did anybody in here say, I need Jesus' love before somebody told you about Jesus' love? How'd you get here? I'm thankful my parents introduced me to the church because the church introduced me to Christ. It changed me forever. I'm glad somebody shared the gospel with me. I'm glad somebody got on my face and said, that's not how you act. That's not what the word says. That's sin. You need to follow Jesus this way. I'm thankful somebody had enough guts to get out of the pew and get in my life. John 15:16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. and I appointed you to, what's that word? Go and produce lasting fruit. What is lasting fruit? The only fruit that lasts is eternal fruit. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. You don't do it in any other name but the name above all names, Jesus' name. Evangelism or soul winning, it's not a program, it's a passion. It's not an event, it's a lifestyle. How many of y'all had some diets before, right? I remember the diet of 2017. That was a 3.5-week diet, longest one I've had yet. See, diets don't work, lifestyles do. COVID messed me up. COVID-19, mine was more like COVID-16. Y'all just caught that, okay. See, soul winning is not an event. It's not like one thing that you do one time with one program or the pastor said this, I'm gonna do this 1 week. It has to be your lifestyle. The Great Commission flows from the love that is found in your heart. If these two things are your primary focuses in life, number one, to obey and practice the Great Commandments, and number two, to fulfill the Great Commission, this is how you're gonna love people. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. This is Paul. He's talked about him earlier. Even though I'm a free man with no master, I've become slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like the Jews to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under the law. Even though I'm not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I live life apart from the law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. That's where I love. Verse 22. When I was with those who are weak, I shared in their weaknesses. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. Last week, live at peace with all people as far as it is with you. Find common ground with all people, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Man, that doesn't speak to your heart. I don't know what will. All my preferences, all my opinions, all my comforts, nothing at all matters if it gets in the way of sharing the gospel. Nothing. None of it. None of it. All the money in the bank, every possession that you have, what you had planned for this or that, doesn't matter if it gets in the way of the gospel. Our job is not to convict, it is to proclaim. We have been empowered by love. On purpose and for a purpose. Souls are the currency of heaven. And soul winning is something that is and should be the quest of every single believer. The Bible tells us, I feel like right now somebody's, I feel the attention in your heart and in your mind right now. You're saying, I don't know what to say. The Bible tells us, here's a victory. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. What is your testimony? Tell somebody the story of how you found Jesus. You don't know what to say to them? Tell them about you. Right? Tell them how you found Jesus. That's how you share the gospel. You don't know what to do. You don't have to have Romans Road or these five steps or this little track that's gonna, remember that in school? All right, you're gonna find a mansion, you're gonna live with this person. Yep, that's what they remind me of. But what you need to do is you need to share the truth of your life. And it doesn't have to be your life story of how I found Jesus. What did he do to you last month? How did you get through 2020 and how are you dealing with 2021 today? Man, everybody's facing things. Don't be fake, man. It's been tough. But I have something called hope. And my hope isn't in the government. It isn't in these things that the world gives me. My hope is in Jesus. Why do I do that? Because he has never let me down. I have never, ever, ever, like all these people in my life, I had this person walk away from me, this person do me wrong, I had this, that, and all these people hurting me. But Jesus has never done that. Man, I'm just giving you ammo today. Be free to say what God is doing in your life. That is how you share the gospel, probably the best. The Bible teaches us that the heart is the seat of all of life's actions, right? Show me your bank account, I'll show you what's important to you. Show me your calendar, I'll show you what's important to you, right? That stuff doesn't just happen, it's in your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything. Our actions grow on the inside before they produce on the outside. I got two papers left, you guys. I'm doing good. The first century Christian church in the book of Acts, they were willing to give anything short of sinning to tell others about Jesus, the Messiah. They were even willing to give their own life. They were all in, man. The first church was all in. They were unified with one purpose and unified by one love. And they were excited. Right? I hope this is getting you excited. Man, I am so nervous to share the gospel today, but I'm excited. Who am I, God, that you would choose me? But I love you, and I love myself enough that I'm going to love them. The first church was excited, and they were productive, and they were generous. They were radical and full of faith. They were motivated by love in all that they did, and they served others, and it all flowed out of their hearts. These followers of Jesus were also filled with the Holy Spirit and had a great relationship with God and a great relationship with each other as well. Why? Because they had two primary focuses. Number one, to obey and practice the great commandments. And number two, to fulfill the great commission. Now, the heart is the part of being, part of our being, where we desire and where we decide. It's the center of a person, right? Physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. It is the heart. The heart is the center of us and who we are. Today, I want to ask you some questions today. What will your heart choose to obey and practice? What are your primary focuses? What matters to your heart? Now, we're all called to go and make disciples of all nations, right? The church should look like heaven. There's no segregation. There is no denomination. There is nothing. All nations, all tribes and tongues come together and worship God. Sunday morning should look like that because that's happening in heaven every single day. So when you make disciples, don't just look for somebody that looks like you. Be led by the Holy Ghost no matter where you go, whatever you do. Man, even if you don't know that language, man, pray and just start praying in tongues and maybe it'll be the language. I don't know. If the Holy Spirit has led you there and God has called you there, he will provide. Be obedient. We're called to go and make disciples of all nations, not converts. America is very bad at this. Here's the difference between these two. Converts, they change their religions. I might have worshiped the world or myself, but now I worship Jesus. And here's the difference. Disciples, they change their masters. Come on now. Disciples build the kingdom of God, and they embrace a Jesus way of life. Converts love conversation. Disciples love transformation. Jesus said in John 14:15, y'all don't have any of this because it's literally everything God gave me about 30 minutes before church started. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You cannot love Jesus and not obey him. They're tied together. You love him because you obey him. You obey him because you love him. How is your relationship with God this morning? Does he have your heart? Does he have your soul? And here's the hard one. Or does CNN and Fox News have your mind? How is your heart toward non-believers? How do you feel when you share the gospel? Do you break for the lost? Hell's a real place. And there are people we walk by every day that are destined to go there. Does that break you? Does your heart burn to share the good news? Because your love for God and the love for yourself is going to send you into a world that Jesus died for. What matters to your heart? Worship team, can you come? Will you close your eyes, church? Part of the worship team, don't close your eyes. You're probably running into the person in front of you. Thank you. Close your eyes real quick. Allow a time for God just to speak to you. What is he saying? What part of this message speaks to you? There's not a soul in here that it won't speak to. These two commandments, these two commissions are the greatest things the entire Bible has to offer for us right now. Thing. What's God saying? Thank you. You're at home. You're able to. Just close your eyes or wherever you're watching this and ask the Holy Spirit, what is he saying to you right now? And you say, well, I don't understand that. The way that God speaks to us is he tugs our heart. Something maybe you weren't thinking about and then all of a sudden, ooh, that popped into my mind or my heart or my spirit, you know that's God speaking to you. That's the way that he does it. Or maybe during the sermon there was something that just, I don't know, made you emotional, touched you in a way that you're like, wow. That's God speaking to you right now. Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Now, as your pastor, I want to pray for you. I want to start with people at home. Pray for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever God is asking you to do, whatever's motivating and moving you, or whatever has got you stuck, I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you right now. He'll speak to you in a new way. I pray that right now you not be motivated by emotions, but motivated by love. It says in God's word that Jesus was moved with compassion. It's one of the greatest loves you can possibly have is compassion. It's not being in a lake and feeling empathy, like they're in one boat and you're in another and you feel for them because there's a sinking. It's that you jump out of your boat, get in theirs, and you start paling out water. You have compassion for them. You jump into their situation and you love them. But whatever God is saying to you right now, I pray that God give them double fold right now. If they've been doing it, double their influence, double their passion, double their opportunities, double God, their finances, double whatever blessing that they're bringing. If they're doing a physical provision to provide a spiritual opportunity, whatever that is, give them double, God. And I pray for the ones that feel stagnant, that they come to church and they hear these messages, but they don't know where to go next. God, may it start with love for you and love for themselves. May they get into your word and realize how much you actually love them. That will build them up and build them up so greatly that they'll recognize that your love is so great that they have to go out and tell other people about it. So whatever position you're in, or maybe you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a moment to know him. It's the first step. It's a prayer, and it's a belief, and it changes your life, but it's not the last step. It's the beginning, not the end. So if that's for you, just hold on. Anybody here in the sanctuary, if that's you today, and you've been sharing the gospel, I just want you to extend your hands. You can keep your eyes closed if you want or open them. I don't care. Just extend your hands to heaven because you're going to, this is an international sign of surrender, but this is also you're saying, God, I want to receive something, as if it's coming from heaven, like you're going to catch it. Okay? If you've been sharing the gospel, I want you to extend your hands. I'm going to pray for a double portion right now. Every person that has their hands right now that has been walking in that compassion and love for others, God, may you give them new favor, new opportunities, new places to go. God, I pray that the darkness will not frighten them, but motivate them to bring the light. God, I pray that there be salts and lights of this earth like you've destined them to. I pray for great things to take place, and I pray for great things to happen. I pray for a double portion of provision, if that's the way that they've been going, or whatever end that they have, God, I pray that they don't have a foot in the door, that you swing it open right now. I just see in the spiritual thing, I see a vision of somebody that's going into a place of business, and it feels like you have just a little bit of in, and I just pictured your foot, and the door keeps trying to close on it, and God is going to give you like this strength, and boom, you're just going to fling it open. You're going to walk in, not with being scary, but with just this overflowing of God's love, like a river just washes in. And I see, like, when you walk in on the right-hand side, there's like this desk right here, and there's somebody right there, but you always talk to somebody over here on the left. I don't know who that's for, and I just saw that. I rarely ever get visions, but there's somebody that when you walk into that door, there's a desk here, and there's somebody that sits there, and there's somebody that you share a lot with over here on the left. And so if that's for you today, God has given you this week, may that take place. May there be a breakthrough. God, I pray for everybody who has their hands extended and raised. God, may you touch them from the tippy top of their fingers to the bottom of their feet. Anoint them to preach the good news, set the captive free, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that demons must flee and things must take place. God, give them love, not to be a clanging cymbal, but to walk in those places and to do those things that you've called them to. And I thank you for that right now. Now, other people, where you're at, you're like, I don't know where to go next in my relationship with God. I want to share the gospel, but I haven't been there quite yet. I want you to extend your hands. If you're afraid to do it in here, you're not going to do it out there. So I want you to just extend your hands and say, God, I need some new favor. I need to know where to go to share the gospel. Just extend them. It's fine. It's all good. We've all been there before. We've all been there before. Extend them right now. God, I pray right now for the love of the Father to fill them. God, fill them right now. I pray that they love themselves, that they recognize that they're made in your image. It says in your word, they're the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath, that they're a royal priesthood, that they're precious in your eyes. There's a word that says that they're an apple of your eye. God, that you love them so deeply and so intimately, that you died for them on the cross, that you set them free from anything and anything what anybody else thinks. And I pray right now, there's people that have their hands raised right now that don't quite love themselves enough because of their past. There's been abuse in your past, and God is ministering to you right now. Those were not your fault. That was not your fault. Those things that happened to you was not your fault. God loves you, and he wants you to be free from that. And that bondage that you have, that tie to whatever man or woman or person did to you, whatever it is, right now be broken by the power of God's love. Right now, God's love, just break that chain of bondage that makes them think that's where their worthiness is. But the worthiness is not in the past, and the past hurts. The worthiness is we look to you. Where does our help come from? It comes from you. It's in your presence, God. I just pray there's a shifting taking place. Keep looking back. It's not as if you live in the back, but you keep that rear view mirror around when you feel bad or somebody hurts you, and you keep looking in that, and you keep being reminded. You're reminded of the pain. You're reminded of that, and the devil keeps lying to you. You keep lying to you. Right now, be broken. Speak life. Speak life into your situation and to you and the way God made you. He loves you. And I pray that the love of God will flow so greatly in the love of ourself, that we love ourselves because we know we're children of God, that God loves us. And we love God and love ourselves so much that it manifests in a new way to share the gospel. I pray right now, touch their tongues. Like in the Old Testament when he came with that hot coal, touch your tongues and purify them. They might not have a long thing to say, but what they do say has power because it's motivated by love. I pray for their testimony to roll off, what they're walking through, how God got them through, and what they're walking through now and how they know God will get them through eventually. I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Now, if you don't know Jesus and you've never accepted him to your heart and prayed a prayer, it's called the prayer of salvation. It says, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It starts with the belief, and then it goes into following. If that's you today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or anybody online, hit the comments and say, I want to receive Christ today. I want to just lead you in a prayer today. If that's you today, just put your hand up, and I just want to follow. Not that we're going to shame you or anything, but I just want to give an opportunity. It says, I need God. Or maybe you've fallen away from God, and you want to come back to him, and you want to be reminded of this love. If that's you today, just raise your hand. I see a hand raised. Anyone else today? Anybody out there, just raise your little digital hand. Put your hand up. Anybody in here? Anybody? Anybody on worship team? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to pray after me. I actually want everybody to pray this. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I choose to follow you today. I will not worship anything other than you. Take my idols, take my selfishness, take my opinions, take my hurting heart, take my past. You are Jesus, the risen Savior. I invite you now into my heart to be the one that sets me free. I choose today to follow you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Now, I just want you to make that real with him right now. Just take the next couple seconds, make that real with him. What that means is just talk to him. Give him your heart. Share what's going on right now. Make it real. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're the king of the world, that you're the king of my heart. And one day, you're over the king of the world. You're over the enemy and Satan and all these things. King of my heart. And if I have you, I have all that I need. You're a good God. Motivate me to love you with all that I need to. And may it manifest itself into me going into the world to preach the good news, to make disciples, to walk with people in this life together, not just to say a prayer, but to walk with them and to love them. I pray for the family of God to grow. I'm reminded in your word, God, it said in Acts chapter 2, that when we love each other, we come together and we hear, we break bread together, we have fellowship, we have prayer, and we hear the word of God from the disciples or from the teachers. It's just in that section alone that you are multiplying the kingdom of God every day. I pray for the church to grow. Grow so much. Multiply. And it's all birthed out of your love. May we preach the truth in love in all that we do. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand? We're going to sing another song. I want to encourage you today, if you feel like it and you ask somebody else and they're comfortable with it, pray for them before they leave. Or turn around and just pray for each other, however you want to do it. I know not everybody's comfortable, not everybody wears masks, but if you would just ask them, I want you just to pray for them today. Start here in church. And let's go out to the world. Change the world. Why? Because the world changer lives in you. Amen.
You call me out upon the water, the great unknown, my feet may. Above the waves, when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your.